Welcome to Witness Radio, program Know Your Land and Environmental Rights. My name is Rita Babidie. I welcome you to this amazing program. This program is doing wonders, helping people out there. And I'm so glad that we are actually of big help to you, our dear audience. First, I'd like to take you back to our last episode. We discussed about where to report land rights violations in Uganda. And our council elaborated and explained where we can start from a file or report these cases. She said you start with the LOC1, and if the LOC1 fails, you go to the LOC2. If the LC2 fails, you go to the LC3. And if also that fails, you go to the district land board. If you're not still helped with all those, you can file a case in the court. She also talked about reporting a case to police and what you should do, which kind of cases that are supposed to be reported at the police. We also talked about the international and national bodies. So if everything fails, if the court fails to help you, you can definitely run into these human rights bodies that can actually be of big help, because they influence in some way so that you can actually be accorded justice. First, I'd like to welcome our counsel, lawyer by profession, Counsel Buliedali John. And so that she can say a hello to us. Counsel, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Rita. Good morning, everyone. I'd love to thank our dear listeners for staying tuned into this program. Please do not give up on us, because where you're not, we are not there. We thank Witness Radio 2 for the initiative to educate people out there about their land and environmental rights. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, Counsel John. But let's go in for a short break. We shall be back.
Every day, every hour, tune in to Witness Radio, your number one choice. Witness Radio is the voice of the people. Listen to the power.
Listen to Witness Radio to stay up to date on breaking news about land evictions in Uganda.
Do development projects or land evictions affect your community? Share these experiences with us on Witness Radio.
Come back from that short commercial break. We are going to start right away, and I would like to welcome Counsel John. You're welcome.
Thank you, Rita. We're still looking at the Uganda Human Rights Commission, because in our last episode, we were taking you through what a person can do, where the person can report to in case of any human rights, land rights violation by any person, anybody, any commission, and anything. So we took you through how you can report the LC1, LC2 to court level, district land board, area land committee, and court. We took you from magistrate to Supreme Court. So and we said if that doesn't work, then there are other national and international bodies that can actually help you, that you can complain to, and justice is accorded to you. And previously, in our last episode, we gave you just a small hint or a brief summary about the Human Rights Commission, and we are here to finalize on that too. So we with the Human Rights Commission, we looked at the kind of cases that they investigate about, and we looked at we said they look at cases of forced eviction without compensation, violence, torture, or harassment by landlords, investors, or security forces. We looked at cases of denial of access to land for farming or shelter, discrimination in land, especially when it is against women, failure of authorities to actually protect the land rights of people, and yet that is their role. We looked at the fact that when you take a complaint, they do their own investigations to find out what the problem is. They investigate with the government, with the investors, the security forces, and landowners to see what the problem is. And the fact that all these rights are granted to the Human Rights Commission through Article 51 of the 1995 Constitution of Uganda. So it carries out investigations just like the courts do, and it also summons anybody that is in the complaint that is lodged by the complainant to get a clear picture or evidence on the case that has been filed to it or lodged to it. It also issues recommendations to the government or responsible parties. The Human Rights Commission can direct government agencies, investors, or landlords to compensate victims or stop illegal evictions. It can advise parliament or local authorities to reform land laws or improve enforcement, just in case it finds that there are gaps missing and a lot of people's rights are being violated. It also refers cases to court for further action. So if the violation is serious, it gives forced evictions with violence, the Human Rights Commission may refer the case to civil courts or the Constitutional Court for legal redress. If criminal activities like torture, illegal arrests, or extrajudicial killings occur during land evictions, Human Rights Commission may refer cases to the Director for Public Prosecution for criminal charges. It can also order compensation of affected persons, you know, when a complaint is taken. So the Human Rights Commission has quasi-judicial powers, meaning it can issue compensation orders for people whose rights have been violated in land disputes. How do you file a complaint with the Human Rights Commission? If you know your community have suffered land-related human rights violations, you can report to Human Rights Commission through the following steps. Write a complaint letter. And this complaint letter, it should have details of the land disputes, which human rights have been violated, and evidence to that effect should be attached. There could be photos, you attach photos, especially when it comes to they destroyed my property, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a house on that land. Because what investors do these days, the first thing they actually destroy is the fact that you had property on the land, like house, like crops. It's the first thing they deal with. They demolish the houses and also destroy the crops. Reason being, it will be very hard for a valuer to come and value something they have not looked at.
Yes.
You get?
Mm.
Yes. So, to me, I feel like it's a trick to kind of minimize or reduce on the compensation rates they have to. Because it'll be like, you're saying you have this, but what's the proof? You have a house. Where is the house? What's the proof that you had a house?
Mm.
I had a house that had this kind of iron sheets. What shows that they had those kind of iron sheets? And how? What shows that there were that many? So the first thing they do is to destroy what is on ground. Like when it happened in Kawala, when we're in a mediation, and then NEMA came and demolished people's houses.
Mm.
And their crops too. And yet we had not done the valuation yet. So it was very hard. Now people had to bring pictures. You see, I had this kind of house. I had, you know. So for those that have taken a complaint and they're in that, they fall in that category of where maybe the evictor, you get, destroyed all the property that was in the land. You could have a picture that shows I had this on my land. Though it is very hard for someone to take a picture in a garden, or a picture of their garden. A house is very okay, but a garden is very complicated.
Yeah, but people do have them.
Yeah.
Are you sure? People that have pictures when they're in the garden.
Like, no, what? Okay, yeah, I do. Mm. But there are few.
Yeah, there are very few.
There are very few. Because the pictures I usually see is most people show their livestock. Like, I have cattle.
Yeah.
I have poultry. Like, that's what they show, but... Like, I have one acre of maize. It's very hard. In fact, okay, 1 acre can, but if land is smaller than that, the size is smaller than 9 acres, people usually do not actually take the initiative to take pictures because, you know, they find, I don't know, that some don't even have smartphones too. So, yeah.
So, can a complaint be confidential?
Yes, it can. Okay. But a complaint being, it depends, the parties have to agree for it to be confidential.
Mm.
But for a complaint to be confidential, usually it is, it happens where maybe the company is afraid of being defamed or the government or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But when it comes to individual basis, usually people don't. Maybe if it's a well-known person, like a person that is known in the country, like a minister, a member of parliament, probably.
Mm.
And but even to that, the only people that receive when you talk about a complaint, filing a complaint, talk about when you're filing it to a body, a company, so it cannot be on an individual basis.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a company. Okay. Are there specific forms or templates that one can use to file these cases?
Let me give an example. The Human Rights Commission has its own way of how you can break down your complaint.
Mm-hmm, mm.
In there's the way they document their own things. You get, there are those that have templates. They put them online, like the banks, you know, investment, development companies, things like that. So it depends. Some have templates where you just have to fill in and then you file, and then others you have to draft the complaint yourself.
Mm. So yes. Which one does the human rights body have?
The human rights, it's more of like a complaint letter.
Mm.
Yes, it's like a complaint letter. So you sit down and write a complaint letter saying this is this and this. Because usually why they don't make it so complicated is because they know not everyone is literate.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm. So that is it. You write a complaint letter. It should have details of the land disputes, which human rights have been violated, evidence such as you should have a photo, documents, and witness statements to show that, yes, these people were there to attest that indeed that land belonged to us, and then a certain company came and did what? Evicted us. So you submit the complaint. You can visit the offices, you know, and you give it to them. Or you can send an email, you know, you send an email to them. But to me, it would be, if it's possible, if you could probably take it there. I know it's very costly, but especially for people in villages, because sometimes you may send an email and they take long to respond.
Mm.
And yet these side things are actually going from bad to worse.
Yes.
Yes. So, after you've lodged your complaint and probably eligibility stage is there, then the Human Rights Commission will conduct investigations and may summon you or witnesses for testimony. And then a Human Rights Commission may resolve the case through mediation, recommendation, or referring it to what? To court. Challenges that we have with the Human Rights Commission. We have delays in investigations. You get. And this is because of due to limited resources, some cases take a long time to resolve. And then we have lack of enforcement powers. So the human rights recommendations are not always binding. Some government agencies ignore them. You saw? So we have also political interference. In cases where powerful individuals or investors are involved, justice may be delayed.
Mm.
Yes. So we have a lot of challenges with that. You can also run to NGOs or civil society organizations like Witness Radio. We have Witness Radio. There are many. We have LandNet. So there are many organizations that actually deal with land matters that you can run to. You have Action Aid Uganda. So you can run to them and you get help in one way or another. Or you can also look at international complaint mechanisms. Like now, for example, if a project is being funded by probably a certain company or donors or a development or bank, you can actually lodge a complaint to the bank and then something can be done about it. Like now, IFC has a compliance advisor, ombudsman. We have the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. We have the UN Human Rights Council. We have the inspection panel for the World Bank, you know. We also have the COW, so that is the Compliance Advisory Ombudsman. So there are many people to go to, and then you can lodge your complaint, and then they find a way of how to help. We have MEGA. So you lodge your complaints just in case things have failed, because this handle your case when they find out that things have failed at the national level. That's when they come in. Yeah, in fact, when you're joining your company, tell them I have exhausted all national remedies. That is why.
So, Counsel, how can one follow up the status of their complaint?
Usually, when you send an email, because some of these are not in Uganda, you can decide to send an email, follow up emails, or get a person that you can talk to, engage, you know, keep calling them to find out how far, things like that. It is very hard for a complaint to be heard. Like, even for, you know, even with those international, like the accountability complaint mechanisms, sometimes you also send your complaints and, you know, they take time to respond until they also have people that they listen to. You get another international organization somewhere to insert pressure, and then they listen.
Okay.
So everything has an advantage and a disadvantage. But when just in case your complaint is found eligible, you know, at least somewhere, somehow, you may not be happy 100%. At times you can, but at least you know you'll reach somewhere. You get. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Counsel. We are going in for a short break and then we shall be back.
Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing, or you're aware of any person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765, or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org. Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload it to send.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices. Witness Radio, your number one choice.
Oinama uli agakwata kuchiba taka. Oba waliwo gwomanyi ngagobeddwa ku ttaka. Oba ng'ebintu bye byonooneddwa olw'enkaayana z'ettaka oba ekibanja. Tegeeza Witness Radio ng'oyita ku ssimu zaffe namba 0491-97221 oba ya WhatsApp 0745-965-765. Nandi ki ensonga ziroope butereevu ku kibanja kyaffe ekya Witness Radio ku www.witnessradio.org. Laba ku mapu eraga abantu n'ettaka eritwaliddwa era ojja kulaba ekigambo report eviction. Awoloopa bw'oba ogobeddwa ku ttaka, bw'omala noonya ekitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu eno, onyige ku kitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu, kireete akatonyeza akalangi emyufu, olwo okanyigeko. Jjuza foomu eyo, onyige safe okutereka by'ojjuzza. Teekamu ekifaananyi eky'ekitundu ky'ettaka eribbiddwa. Nyiga upload ng'osindikirako ekifaananyi.
You are still listening to Witness Radio. Welcome back from that short commercial break. We are still continuing with our topic of discussion today, and I would like to welcome Counsel Joan to continue.
Thank you. Now we are going to be looking at ways of protecting interest in land. Just in case there is any rumor that if I have land and there is a rumor that Rita wants to take over my land, how can I protect it out? Oh, even if it's not a rumor, how can I protect my land so that anybody cannot just come and then probably take over my land or grab
claim
my land
that it's theirs?
Yes, or grab my land or something like that. We shall start with the fact that people lodge caveat. So a caveat is an instrument that operates as security to protect the unregistered interest claims of the caveat's land. This is done through an application to the Register of Titles. And before any registration in the title can be made, a notice must be issued to the caveator. Lodge a caveat, the following is required. So you lodge a caveat on your land so that nothing, like someone cannot do, no dealing can happen on your land because there is a caveat. You get? And this caveat here is, you write an application to the Register of Titles, and before any registration on the land title can be made, a notice must be issued to the caveator. So this caveat is actually put by the court. You get?
Mm.
You write an application to court, and then the court grants an order to lodge a caveat. And so they request a registrar to lodge a caveat on the what? On the title.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, court requests a registrar to lodge a caveat on the title. So how do we lodge a caveat on land? A caveat is, like we said, it's a legal notice registered on land to prevent any unauthorized transactions such as sales, transfers, or leases. It acts as a warning to third parties that someone else has an interest in what? On the land. So the law that provides for caveats on land in Uganda is the Registration of Titles Act, Cap 230. So Section 3139 of the RTA, that is the Registration of Titles Act, allows any person who claims an interest in registered land to lodge a caveat at the Ministry of Lands, Housing and Urban Development to prevent any dealings without their consent. So Section 140 of the RTA provides for the process of removing a caveat if it has been wrongfully placed or is no longer valid. So here we are just kind of giving you the law that gives a landowner mandate or someone that has interest in land a mandate to lodge a caveat on the land. And then who can lodge a caveat and for what reason? A caveat can be lodged by a person with a legal or equitable interest in the land, such as a person claiming ownership through purchase or inheritance. A person is in actual possession of the land, a tenant with a long-term lease, a person with an agreement to buy land but has not yet completed the process, a creditor who has an interest in the land due to unpaid debts. So all these people have a right to actually lodge a caveat. You get? So for especially like when talk about the creditors, these are maybe the bank can lodge a caveat. These what money lenders do, you get? Yeah, to avoid the person selling off the land without their agreement to buy land, and then you're like, okay, let me give you installments. So the landlord, the owner of the land may just do dealings behind your back and sell it off to some other person. So by the time you're thinking of finalizing your payment for the land, they are telling you he's not the owner. The owner is this one, you get?
Yeah.
So that is, in Luganda, that is what they call buying air.
Kugule mpewo.
Yes. So such things happen. Government or local authorities to stop illegal transactions on public land. So the beneficiary of land, the beneficiaries of land under succession law, such as a child or spouse claiming inheritance rights, can also lodge a caveat. Like I said, the financial institutions, digi banks can also do lodge a caveat. So government or local authorities who are trying to stop illegal transactions on public land can lodge a caveat too. So details that how does a caveat look like? What does it contain? What details are on the caveat? They will put full names, address, and then your national ID or passport number for verification. Details of the land, and when to look at details of the land, we look at the title number, block and plot number, location. We look at district, sub county, and village. We look at the size of the land, nature of interest the person that is lodging a caveat has on the land. Is it ownership interest, beneficiary claims, lease or tenants interest, credit interest? They all look at all these issues, details. And then they look at the reason for lodging the caveat. Are you preventing fraud or illegal sale? Are you stopping land transactions without your consent? Are you protecting inheritance claims? What are you doing? Why are you lodging the caveat?
Mm.
So after that, the caveat must be signed and dated by the applicant or their lawyer. So a statement confirming that the information given is true and correct. So this, you must make a statement to confirm that whatever information you've given is actually the right one.
So are there any requirements needed for one to lodge a caveat?
Yes, there are requirements. First of all, you must have a substantive reason for lodging a caveat. I've been mentioning, are you preventing fraud or illegal sale? Are you stopping land transfers and land? And then we look at, do you have any interest on that land?
Okay.
Because you cannot just come out of nowhere and you start lodging caveats on people's land. Then the fact that they'll ask you for national ID, they ask you for land title. What's something that shows that you really have an interest on the what?
Oh, so these are like passport requirements.
Passport photos, yes.
Okay.
So these are the requirements that, you know, show that you have interest on the land. So process of lodging a caveat in Uganda. You get a certified copy of the land title from the Ministry of Lands and District Land Office. You verify the title authenticity to confirm it matches the land in question. So a lawyer can help draft the caveat, clearly stating your interest in the land and why you are blocking any transactions. You must include supporting documents such as sale agreement, wills, lease agreement, or mortgage documents. So you must show proof. Submit the caveat to the land registry. Go to the Ministry of Lands and Housing and Urban Development or the District Land Office where the land is registered. Submit the caveat application together with supporting documents and proof of identity. Pay the required fees. A caveat attracts a registration fee. It varies, but it's around 50 to 100,000. And then you get an official receipt as proof of payment. The land office reviews and registers the caveat. The land registrar examines the application. If everything is in order, the caveat is entered into the land register and a notification is placed on the title. No notification of the landowner. The registered landowner is informed that a caveat has been lodged against the title. This one happens where this one has a lease on the land, or probably vivanja holders. Who is a tenant that there is an agreement that you had and gave you some money to use a land for some time? You have the user rights, eh?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So the landlord must be given notification. How do you remove a caveat on the land? The person who lodged the caveat can write to the registrar requesting its withdrawal, and can also be by a court order. If the landowner believes that caveat is unjustified, they can apply to the High Court to have it removed.
I was going to ask, how long does it does a caveat remain in effect?
Usually they don't give a very long time, usually from 2 to 3 years, but it can sometimes exceed, you know. But when they find it has over exceeded, then court can remove it and notify you that we have removed the caveat because it has stayed on the land for a very long period and there is no reason as to why it is
still there.
Yes. So if the court finds the caveat was lodged in bad faith or without merit, it can order its removal. If a caveat remains on the registry for over 5 years without any legal action, the land registrar may remove it after notifying the caveater. So the key things to note about caveats. A caveat doesn't mean that you own the land. It only serves as a warning to prevent unauthorized transactions. So when you lodge a caveat, it does not mean that you're the owner, but you just don't want other people to do anything on that what?
So yeah. Even if you're not the owner of that land, you can lodge a caveat.
Yes. That's why I said if someone has a lease on the land, they're not the landowners, but they have the lease.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Or you have user rights. There are people who have user rights.
Yes.
Yes. If you lodge a caveat without a valid claim, you may be sued for damages. Caveat expires after 5 years unless renewed or supported by a court order. So a fraudulent caveat can be removed through legal action. So another way of how you can protect interest on your land apart from caveats, where one's interest in land is under threat, or she or he may apply to a court of law for an order by seeking remedies to protect this interest through several ways. And first, you can do an injunction to stop an act from being done on the land. And there's a time where we talked about temporary and permanent injunctions. So when there's an injunction, the status quo is maintained. What is, they leave everything the way it is.
Yes.
And also depends on what the magistrate or judge agrees. Can say whoever is still on the land, go on with your work until we finalize. Or nothing should be happening on that land completely until we are done. We have settling things.
Even
now.
If when you're staying there.
Say you keep staying until we have agreed.
Okay.
Or they can say first vacate, then we agree, and then you come back. Yes, so it depends. Compensation in case of deprivation of your land rights, you know. So things like that. So in case someone also trespasses on your land, or let's say someone has come to takes your land by force, still court can order for an eviction. Please, that is not your land. Leave the land for the owner. So those are things that there are ways, other ways apart from the caveat that someone can protect the interest on the land. And then registering interest. One may apply for a certificate of title on which their name will be registered for proof of what? Ownership. For a case of lawful or bona fide occupants, one may apply for a certificate of occupancy. Application for a certificate of occupancy takes the following procedures. A tenant by occupants applies to the registered owner for a certificate of occupancy. And Chibanja holders, one must have evidence that he or she has paid what? Annual ground rent. On receiving the application, the registered owner signs the application and forwards it to the committee for verification. The committee visits the land and determines and verifies the boundaries. The committee sends back the application to the landowner, who either grants the consent or refuses to grant consent to the application and gives reasons for refusal. The landowner gives consent for issuance of a certificate of occupancy. So the form is presented to the board for forwarding to the recorder who issues the certificate of occupancy. So we took people through how you can get your interest on land to be what? Registered. Mm-hmm. That is something we cannot go through again today. So that is how someone can actually do what? Protect your land. Please, you can lodge a caveat. You can go to court and they give you an injunction. They evict someone that has trespassed on your land, you know. And please register your what? Register your land too. And in case the eviction is illegal, but there is no way they can tell the other person to actually give you back the land, the court can say they compensate you adequately. But the best way, the best of the bestest way to actually save your interest on land is please register your interest on land to prove ownership. So that in case someone wants to take over, you're like, hey, I have proof that this is me, this is mine. So that is it. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you so much, Councilor John. You've really done a great job in today's session. Hope you've heard her loud and clear. So if you want a recap or a review of this, you can go on our YouTube channel, like, share, and comment, because this can be of help to anybody out there. For those that are sending in comments, we are very grateful for whatever job that you're doing. Those that are having land issues and environmental issues, kindly, you can come to Witness Radio for help. First, we have our numbers you can call on. That is 0414696-7221, or you can call us on your WhatsApp number 0745965765, and we are available at on all social media handles. On X, we are at Witness Radio. We also have a website that is www.witnessradio.org, where you can find information or updates on land issues around the country. This program runs from Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That is for the English program. And those that would like for the Luganda version, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we thought it wise that you could have different options for you. And the live program is at 10 a.m. in the morning. And if you want a repeat of this, it's going to be there at 5 p.m. So if you miss the morning session, you can definitely have a repeat at 5 p.m. I'd like to say thank you so much for listening to Witness Radio. Rita Babidye is my name. Until next time, have a blessed day.